This is, in my opinion, one of the most beautiful Gospels in the entire Bible, and many of the Church Fathers share that opinion. It's typical of the Gospel of John. The way the Gospel of John works is unlike Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where they have short stories about Jesus all put together so that we get a quick view of his life. John focuses a lot on the dialogues of Jesus. This is how he speaks with people. And John writes actually very much like some of the Greek philosophers, where the dialogue has ups and downs, it has a plot, they're going somewhere, there's misunderstandings that get resolved in a beautiful way. And the story of the Samaritan woman is the story of how God pursues each of us, how he's thirsty for our faith, thirsty for our hearts, for our devotion, for our love. Let's go through the Gospel. This happens at a well, and the imagery here would not have been lost on those who saw it, and those who wrote about it, and those who read about it. In the Old Testament, wells are where wives are met. Moses met his wife at a well. Some of the patriarchs met their wives at a well. When the Jews see Jesus at a well, meeting a woman in midday, they're immediately thinking this is somehow marital imagery. And the church has always seen it that way. The Lord pursues us like a suitor pursues a love interest. The Lord is constantly looking to bring us in like somebody who's looking for a wife. That kind of relationship, that kind of love, is the kind of love that God has for us. That's why we have, for example, the Song of Songs in the Old Testament. It's romantic love poetry, but it's how God loves us. He loves us zealously and joyfully and romantically and profoundly. And so Jesus, with this one experience, with this one woman, is showing how deeply he desires to bring all people into that depth of relationship with him. It's a marital relationship. Now, the woman is skeptical when he's first talking to her. And this is the stages in this gospel. We see the stages of conversion, the stages of how we respond to the love of God, how we're brought into that love. Jesus approaches her and she says, "Well, you should have nothing to do with me." And that's all of us. We know in the depth of our heart, we're not always great, that we have parts of us that are broken, that we don't like to show to other people. And so, like St. Peter in a different gospel, we say, "Lord, depart from me, because I am a sinful man, or I am a sinful woman. I'm not worthy of your attention." A Samaritan woman says, "Look, I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew, you should have nothing to do with me, what are you doing even talking to me?" But Jesus presses forward. He says, "I have something to offer you. Right? I have living water." And this is where all of us respond. We know that we don't deserve God's attention, and yet, when he says, "I want to love you," there's a part of us, there's a deep part of us, that thirsts for that attention, that thirsts for that love. We're all thirsty for salvation. We're thirsty for care. We're thirsty for somebody to carry our burdens and to help us to live the best life we can, to help us find that joy and that peace and that love that we know that we were made for, that we struggle to find. So the woman, skeptical, doesn't really want this kind of attention, doesn't really want this conversation. Jesus piques her interest and says, "Woman, if you know who you are talking to, you would ask me for water, and I would give you living water." He hits her right where it hurts, because she wants that living water. She desperately desires that living water. She knows this is what she's been looking for her entire life. And so she re-engages and she says, "If you can give me that water, give me that water. I want it. I want to not be thirsty anymore. I want to know that love and that care. I don't want to be struggling." She says, "I want this." And Jesus says, "Okay, well, go call your husband." What's he doing here? Well, he's pointing out to her what the barriers are going to be. He wants to give her this water, this living water, this life and this peace and this joy. He wants to give that to her, but he knows that right now she's not in a place where she can receive it, because he knows what the sins are in her life. Sin do not change God's mind about us. Sins do not turn God away from us. God is always pouring his love upon us. He is always pursuing us like a suitor pursuing a bride. He's always doing that. But sin erects a barrier. And so even though God is constantly reaching out to us, we turn away through sin. So he knows, even though he's reaching out to this woman, she has to have conversion first. She has to turn away from her sin first. And so after she's curious, after he tells her there's something here for you, he knows he has to have the hard conversation. Okay, you want this water, go call your husband. Because that's the thing that's going to keep you from me. That's the thing that's going to keep you from receiving this water. And so she admits, because she's so desperate for this water, she's so desperate for this love of God, she admits, I have five husbands. Well, I don't have a husband. She hides from the Lord first. And then the Lord tells her, no, you don't. You have five husbands. This is what you've been doing. It's hard. It's hard to be called out like that by God. But once we crave him, once we desire him, suddenly all of our sins begin to pop up. All of our sins that are the barriers, they're revealed to us. And it's not easy. And at this point, a lot of people will turn away from the Lord. Even though they desire to be fed, they desire that drink, they desire to be loved, they'll turn away. And they'll say, yeah, I don't want to look at this part of me, or I'm not really ready for this. Jesus calls her out. She doesn't turn away. She says, yikes, you must be a prophet. You must be a prophet. At every moment, she gives him a new title. So at first, okay, he's just a Jew. And then he's somebody who can offer living water. Now he's a prophet. This is a high title. He knows, she knows, that he has called her out. She knows that there's something in her life that she has to do. She's not fully ready to be contrite. She's engaging with it, so she pushes him. She says, clearly you're a prophet. Clearly you know what's going on with me. So if you can tell me all about me, why don't you answer this very sticky religious question that we've been fighting about for 400 years? If you're really a prophet, then maybe you can fix this thing that nobody's fixed for four centuries. Where are we supposed to worship? The Samaritans say we worship here. The Jews say we worship here. Well, Jesus gives her an answer, but it's an answer that continues to address the needs of her heart. Yes, woman, the Samaritans don't know what they're talking about. Salvation is from the Jews, but ultimately it's not going to matter because all of us very soon will worship in spirit and in truth. This is the answer that she didn't even know that she needed, that there would be a higher worship, that the fulfillment of her desires would be in spirit and in truth. When we go to God with our sticky situations, when we go to him with our sins, he finds a way to resolve them. If we turn away, we can't receive that answer. But if we re-engage and we say, Lord, you must be a prophet. You know me. How do you know me so well? And we push forward into it, he's going to give us the answers. He's going to help us find that peace and that love. He's going to help us figure out what we need to hear from him. And then she finally asks. She doesn't really ask. She makes a statement. But she says, I know that the Messiah is coming. She provides that one last opening for the Lord to push in. And then he says, I am he. I am the Messiah. Because at that point, she's recognized, maybe, finally, this is the one I've been looking for. Maybe, finally, this is the one who can save me. This is the one who has been promised to us. And she says, could it possibly be the Messiah? Could it finally be the one I've been looking for? And Jesus, he says, yes. This is the story of all of us. St. John has a tendency in his gospel to write gospels that we can read ourselves into. That's why he always uses the phrase, the one whom Jesus loved, rather than using his own name. Because he wants us to know that we are also the one who Jesus loved. That we can walk with Jesus in the same way that St. John did. And so here we have a story about how God pursues all of us. How all of us thirst for the presence of God and the love of God poured into our hearts. How all of us have been walking around like in a desert, without water, without anything to drink. And finally God reveals himself to us in an unexpected place, in an unexpected way, where we're tempted to turn away from him, and yet he keeps giving us the living water. We can't turn away. We desire it so much that we realize we have to see this to the end. We have to go through our sinfulness and come out on the other side. We have to be open to what God wants to offer us, all of the answers, all of the comfort. We have to know that He is the Messiah, and we have to say yes to that, and we have to receive Him. And then, finally, in our hearts, we have that living water. We have the thing that we have desired our entire lives. That dryness goes away, and we are full, and we are filled, and we are satiated. And we can live this life verdantly, vivaciously. We can live it like a tree next to a stream, rather than in a desert. We read this gospel for our first scrutiny because it recognizes the journey that Aniah and Jennifer have gone through. These two women have pursued the Lord, or rather they have allowed themselves to be pursued by the Lord. It's not for nothing that Jesus is the one who takes the first step in this gospel. He's the one who starts that conversation. And these two women, they have received that conversation. They have allowed the Lord to pursue them. And now they seek the living water that Jesus pours out on all of us in the font of baptism. In a few moments, we will give them an opportunity to kneel before the altar of God and to pour out their love and their contrition to the Lord, so that as they prepare to receive that living water, there will be no more barriers. They will have given Him everything that they have, so they can receive everything that He has, which is infinite and beautiful. And we are privileged to walk with them and to pray for them, that this journey would find its completion, that the Lord's pursuit of them would be completely fulfilled, that they would be able to receive the living water that flows from Jesus Christ.